last thing I wanted to do today is make anything about me, and I mean that with all my heart. This matter of bitterness is one of those subjects that probably affects all of us, and very few people. I see it sometimes when you, it's like if I preach an entire message on men struggling with pornography, you're probably not going to get a lot of men into the altar, because we have this idea like, oh, somebody's going to see me, maybe I have bad thoughts, or maybe, what are they going to think about me? It's like when you preach on bitterness, like people, not a lot of people come to the altar because they think, well, people, I don't want people to think I'm bitter. I mean, I'm trying to get rid of bitterness, you know. And we have this self-consciousness sometimes about what people will think about us. And the truth is we need to deal with the matter of bitterness. We've got to get to the root of the matter of bitterness. And this morning we talked from Hebrews chapter 12. And we started with verse number 14. Let's start there and read there. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know that how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. We started in this morning on the consequences of bitterness. We started 2 weeks ago on the characteristics of bitterness. Now, I'll simply just go over real quick what we talked about this morning and the last couple of weeks here. We talked about the characteristics of bitterness. Now, the characteristics of bitterness sometimes people think are somebody that's old and cranky. They're at least 80 and they are mean and cranky, and they don't they answer the door and yell at people. And those are the people that are bitter. But the Bible said it is people who struggle with anger, it's people who struggle with wrath, the outward spewing of anger and hurtful words that are being said. The Bible says evil speaking. The Bible calls it malice, a person that is malicious with their words, malicious with their actions, malicious towards others. We see that the Bible calls it clamor, a clamorous person, a person who is in a contest to be louder, a contest to be meaner, a contest to say more hurtful things than the other person, or faster than the other person, or louder than the other person, as to quiet that person or to put that person with fear. And so the Bible says these are the characteristics of bitterness. This is how you know that we have bitterness in our heart. And sometimes we can't figure out why we lose our temper, why we fly off the handle, or why we, in an instant, we say something and people say, well, it's in your heart. Well, yeah, it's in your heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. And so we see that in us sometimes is a root of bitterness. We see that we talked about next. We talked about the characteristics of bitterness. And last week we talked about, I'm drawing a blank, the causes of bitterness. Thank you. I'm glad you have my notes. And the causes of bitterness. And we talked about how sometimes we have this idea that we think that the reason this person is bitter, or the reason that this person is mad, or the reason this person is angry, or the reason this person is malicious, is you don't understand. Look at their past. Look at what happened to them as a kid. Look what happened to them as a teenager. Look what happened to them in their marriage. Look what happened to them in their business. And we want to say that these people, the cause of their bitterness is the bad situation. I mean, of course, Esau got bitter. I mean, look what the unfair things that happened to him. And we kind of give it that as the cause. And so that gives us this right to be angry and wrathful and speak evil to others and be clamorous and be malicious. That's not the cause of bitterness. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. And truly, what it is in those moments where seeds of bitterness are sown into our lives, where somebody does something unfair to us, somebody does something that is mean to us, something that is hurtful to us, abusive towards us. The Bible says the thing that happened there is that person fails of the grace of God, meaning they fail to appropriate the grace of God in that situation. It's not. I'm not saying that that is easy. I'm not preaching it as in, come on, you know, what don't you get about this? It is a very hard thing to do, but that is the cause of bitterness. When people do not look at an ex spouse and appropriate the grace of God towards them, give them grace, or they don't a business partner or a church member or a friend or somebody in the ministry. The thing is that they don't give them the grace of God to grow, to be wrong, to be unfair. All of those things are true about us. And the Bible says that God has given us grace. God has been so graceful to us. For by grace are ye saved through faith. The way that you got saved is by the grace of God. You did not bring anything to God that mattered. You did not bring anything to God that merited favor. You did not bring anything to God that would put you in a column that was more deserving than others for salvation. And so the same truth is in everyday life. We are guided by that same grace that there's people around us, to be honest, they don't deserve the grace of God. They don't deserve for nice words to be said to them. They don't deserve for us to be to not say certain things to them. But that's why they call it grace. And so I hope you're listening to me tonight, because these are the causes of why people deal with bitterness. Because they will not take that person and take them to the Lord and match up the grace of God with that problem, with that person, with that situation that has happened. And then this morning we started talking about the consequences of bitterness. Sometimes people think that the consequences of bitterness is, well, they're an angry person. That's not the consequence. That's a characteristic. Well, they're pretty hateful. Well, that's a characteristic. That is not a consequence. There are consequences for being an angry person. There are consequences for being a person of wrath that gets heated in a moment, that triggers and speaks evil towards others, that is malicious with your words or your hands or your attitude or your... I know people that are malicious. They slam things. They throw things. They get gruff. They get big. They get mean and loud. And we say, well, that's one of the consequences of bitterness. No, that is a characteristic. The Bible shows us here what are some of the consequences of having bitterness. And so he said this morning, number one, there's always a problem with your pursuit of peace with people. There's a problem in your pursuit of peace with people. The Bible says there in verse 14 that we're to follow peace with all men. Peace is one of those things that I love. The Bible calls it the law of the spirit of life and peace. I don't know about you, but I do not like bad things happening. I don't like bad health. I don't like bad children. I don't like an unsubmissive wife. I don't like yelling and screaming. I don't like slamming things. I like things peaceful. I like coming into school. Children, look here, Pastor. Pastor likes to walk into school and find peace in the school. I don't like coming into school and having to take children in the library and threaten to slice them up in little pieces. Okay, we don't do that. But I do threaten to beat them to death. That is a true thing. But you understand, I like walking into situations with peace. The Bible says that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be following peace with all men. Paul said, if it be possible, whatsoever lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. And so there's a problem with people that have bitterness. One of the consequences is they do not have a life of peace. There's ups and there's downs. They are emotionally up. They're emotionally down. They are a person that is always has drama around them. They're a person, the Bible says, with an angry man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and gain a snare unto thy soul. And that's where you find about angry people, about people that have bitterness. Why do they live in houses by themselves eventually? Why does people say, well, you want to avoid them? Well, you want to walk around on eggshells around them? And they begin to lose friends, and they begin to lose acquaintances and relationships, and nobody wants them around, and nobody wants them in leadership positions. Why is that? That's not the cause of bitterness, and that's not the characteristic. That's a consequence of bitterness. You eventually don't want that person, because every time that person's around, there's no peace. And so we said this morning that your pursuit of peace with people is affected by bitterness. People about to get married and then say, I do not love that person anymore. Many times it is a root of bitterness that has sprung up and has not been dealt with. And they can no longer find peace in their relationships. I've seen people get married and 3 years later or 5 years later, while we don't love each other. That is just language you're not going to find in the scriptures. It is something that has come between there. And the Bible says the thing that ends quickly with a bitter person is peace. Follow peace with all men. Esau hated Jacob. The Bible says Esau hated Jacob. Can I tell you, parents, listen to me, that's not natural. Well, my children, they just hate each other. That's not natural. That's carnal behavior. And we sometimes just like, well, kids will be kids and, you know, they're going to hate each other. Or they're not going to be, you know, a person that they don't get along real well with their siblings. That's not natural. That is a root of bitterness that springs up and troubles you, and thereby many be defiled. And what you're going to find in your home is no peace. The reason there's no peace in your home is because there's bitterness in your home. On the part of somebody, somebody's dealing with bitterness. I remember being a very, very angry teenager. My parents began a divorce process when I was 7 years old, completed the divorce process when I was 8 years old. And when I was nine, my mom met another person, and he very quickly became my stepfather. And I'm going to tell you right now, my teenage years were absolutely miserable from the ages of about 12 to about 16. And the reason they were was not because my parents got divorced. It was not because I had a stepdad who was stricter than my real dad. These are all true things, but that's not why there was no peace in my life. There was no peace in my life because I had bitterness in my heart about them being divorced. And I had bitterness in my heart about my mom getting remarried. And I had bitterness in my heart about changing from living in Cleveland, Ohio, where all my friends were, and moving to Toledo, Ohio. And it's because I had bitterness in my heart. And it came out in anger and wrath and evil speaking. And I was malicious and I was clamorous. And these were the characteristics of my life. And the cause was because I gave my mom no grace. I gave my stepfather no grace. I gave my new teachers no grace. I gave my new preachers no grace. And the consequence of that behavior was there was no peace in my life. I was constantly in trouble. I was constantly ruining my testimony with people. They did not trust me. I did not have trust from my parents. And of course, I was always saying, like, you don't trust me, and why don't you trust? And you hear kids say that. I'm going to tell you what. The reason you don't get trusted by your parents is because of your bitterness about something. And the bitterness in your heart has caused you to be angry and be a person that is hateful, a person that is mistrusted. And the reason you're mistrusted is because you've not appropriated the grace of God to that situation you're angry about. And you're angry about it. And the Bible says the consequence of that is there's no peace in your life. That's why you and your parents always argue. That's why you're always fighting with each other. Moms and dads, that's why you fight with each other. Not because you have different personalities. Not because he left the toothpaste cap off. Not because he left the toilet seat up or the light on. There's no peace in your home because there's bitterness that is not taken care of in your home and in your hearts. And one of the consequences of leaving bitterness go is you cannot follow peace with all men. You cannot be a peacemaker. You're a peace breaker. You're a peace taker. The peace with people is affected by bitterness. Another consequence of bitterness, we said this morning, number two, is your pursuit of purity in life is affected. Your pursuit of purity is affected in your life. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness. If you know to somebody that's been to the altar a number of times and they still do not change, you're going to find that they will never be able to live in the purity of life until they get rid of their root of bitterness. The Bible says the holiness is affected. Follow peace with all men, and it says they're supposed to live a life of peace, and another thing that a child of God is supposed to be living is a life of holiness. It is a pursuit to be more like God. To be pure like God is pure. To be righteous like God is righteous. To be pure-minded like God is pure-minded. We will never achieve the holiness, the attribute of holiness of God. We will never achieve that. That is an incommunicable thing of God's attributes. He is holy. But He says we are to be holy like He is holy. We're to be pursuing that. It's supposed to be a life pursuit that we are to get out of our life. We are supposed to be fleeing from evil. We are supposed to be depart from evil and do good. We are constantly supposed to be taking out of our lives those things that ought not to be there and pursuing those things that God says we should. We should be simple concerning evil and wise concerning good. And so you'll find that people that have bitterness in their heart, their life is not a life of holiness. It will not be a life that is pure. It is not a life that is going to be one that God will be pleased with. A holy life is the desire of many bitter people, though. And the truth is, the Bible says Esau tried to get it even with tears. I mean, he was one of those guys that just every time he would try to move forward, he would just fall back. And the reason he would fall back is because he could not get past that thing of bitterness. And it troubled him. And thereby many be defiled. In the life of Esau, Jacob got away from him, but his parents were affected by it. His entire lineage was affected by it. They became the Edomites. By the way, the Edomites are the people of Jordan today. And the people of Jordan and the people of Israel today fight constantly. And you can trace that back. Listen to me. You don't have to trace it back to, these two boys didn't like each other. No, you trace all of what we're dealing with. No peace in the Middle East. No peace. And you are looking at people that they think, listen to this, they think killing other people is what God wants them to do. Blow people up. That is a mind that is just tainted, a mind that has just been torn apart. And you can trace it all the way back to Genesis chapter 27 and 28, and you can trace it back to the matter of bitterness. Now, am I saying that in your life, if you don't get this thing controlled, that you're going to have a nation one day that's fighting? No, I don't know that it'll grow that big, but I do know this. We live in a very, very unpeaceful country right now. And it is with people who are angry. It is being run by people that are wrathful, people that are malicious, people that are clamorous, people that speak evil about each other. I mean, everywhere you turn, it is not about the great things I'm bringing to the table. It's about how bad that person is. How evil can I speak to that person? It's all bitterness. And you can just trace it all the way back to Genesis 27 and 28. And now we have two countries that absolutely hate each other, Jordan and Israel. And they fight to this day because all the way back in Genesis 27, 28, one of the consequences of bitterness is no peace and a lack of holiness in pursuit of purity in your life. The Bible says in Genesis 27:42 that Esau comforted himself in the thought of killing Jacob. He couldn't find Jacob. He pursued Jacob. He wanted to kill Jacob. And the Bible says in Genesis 27:42 that finally Esau comforted himself from killing Jacob. You know that God never asked you to comfort yourself? That simply means that he finally calmed down a little bit. He wasn't going to pursue killing him. And so we think that if we're no longer married to that person and we can just be married to this person, we're going to be fine because we're away from them. We're comforting ourselves. Now I'm not in a bad marriage. I'm good. Now I don't even talk to my parents anymore. I'm good now. I don't even have a relationship with that person. Well, I don't even go to that workplace anymore. And I don't even see that boss, so I'm good. No, the consequence of bitterness is you comfort yourself about these things, but the pursuit of holiness in your life has been affected. Number three, the Bible shows us here to follow peace with all men and holiness. And then it says, without which no man shall see the Lord. Because peace is affected, because holiness and purity is affected, we see that people lose focus on the Lord. People lose focus on the things of the Lord. The Bible says that God is the author and finisher of our faith. This whole chapter in Hebrews chapter 12 is about the chastening of the Lord. The Bible says that the Lord loveth whom He chasteneth. We have this interpretation that if we see somebody get a new house, God loves them. And if we see somebody that's successful, God loves them. The Bible says the Lord loveth whom He chasteneth. How do people know that you love your children? One of the ways, not the only way, but one of the ways people know that you love your children is you discipline your children out of love. The thing that brings your heart and knits your heart with your children is you take a stand on things that are wrong. You actually say, this is what we're not going to do, and if you do this, I have to punish you. All of Hebrews chapter 12 is that. It is that idea that God loves us, and one of the ways He loves us is He has to bring chastening. He has to bring trials and tribulation in our life so that we'll wake up during the trial and tribulation and say, this is of God, and it brings me back to God, and it makes me get along with God and say, God, what are you trying to do in my life in this situation? The chastening of God, the trials and tribulation, the discipline, if you will, from time to time, the things that grab my attention and I'm going through these things, there's two ways to look at it. It is of God, or God is against me. God doesn't love me anymore. God hates me. And the Bible shows us in Esau's life, as he is the example, that when God tried to discipline Esau and chasten Esau and tried to get Esau's attention, Esau ran from God. Rather than it bringing, when God chastened Jacob, it drew Jacob closer to the Lord. It made him pursue God. And so what happens is when somebody has bitterness in their heart and they have something that is unresolved between them and God and them and somebody else, a consequence is they lose focus on the Lord and who the Lord is and how the Lord works. One of the way God works is through chastening. But a bitter person takes that as punishment. A bitter person takes that as God doesn't love me. A bitter person takes that as God doesn't care about me. Rather than it pulling them into God, rather than it making their fellowship with God sweet and making it their hearts tender towards what God has for them in that moment, it makes them madder. It makes them more hateful. It makes them more angry. I can't tell you how many times over the years God has tried to get family's attention in this church. And I can just speak in this church, and I can speak about my home church, I can speak about other things, but as the pastor of this church, how many times my wife and I have seen God move into somebody's life, and just little things at the beginning, just enough to get your attention, like, okay, you know, what are we going to do with this thing? And God just continued to go, and God continued to punish, and God continued to bring trials, and God continued to bring tribulation, until finally that person comes to the breaking point. And they either repent and change their behavior and change their mind, and it draws them closer to God and closer into church and closer to their fellow brothers and sisters. Or I get a phone call that says, I'm tired of it. I'm done with it. Every time I try to step forward, God takes the rug out from under me. I'm done with that church. I'm done with God. I'm done with all of this. You can mark it down, friend. The person that says that, the person who says those words, the person who lashes out and say, I'm done with God, I'm done with this Christian thing, I'm done with church, I'm done being offended, I'm done with this person over here, I'm done being chastened, I'm done being with trials and tribulations, I'm not doing it anymore. You can mark it down, there's bitterness somewhere in their heart. And it springs up, and it troubles them. They run into trouble, and they have trouble. And they're always in trouble, and thereby many be defiled. And the saddest thing to me is when a dad or somebody calls me like that, and I think, wow, they just signed it for their kids. They just made that decision for their wife and their kids. the next generation in their home is going to be away from God because they're done with the chastening of the Lord. And this chapter about the chastening of the Lord, verse number 9 says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness." And then you see somebody that is bitter. The pursuit of peace with people is affected. Their pursuit of purity in life is affected. They lose focus on the Lord and how He works in their life. I know this, that if you do not deal with your bitterness, you will eventually be spiritually blind. I've watched it hundreds of times. I've watched those that have grown up in this church, and I meet them out and about, or I meet them at a funeral, and they say something like, "I went to your church 20 years ago." And they look at their life, and there's no peace. They look at their life, and there's chastening. There's trials and there's tribulations. And that is true of all of our lives. The difference is they have no peace in the trials of life. They have no hope in the trials of life. They, instead of being holy and being Christ-minded and loving God with all of their heart and all their soul and all their might, instead of being that way, they've grown bitter and cold and hateful towards God and towards the things of God. They don't want to hear a preacher preach. They don't want to hear Christian music. They don't want to hear somebody talk about the things of God. I've seen people at funerals be so mad and so angry and so bitter towards God. They've walked out during the gospel presentation. And so we see that there's no peace. The pursuit of purity is affected. Folks lose focus on the Lord. Just an example is Joseph in the Bible. I mean, look at Joseph. Joseph had unfair favoring. It didn't set him up in a good light. He was forsaken by his brothers. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And he was forgotten in prison. And yet, Joseph saw God in it all. Every time you see Joseph in those situations, and it says, "And the Lord was with him." And the Lord was with Joseph in the prison. And the Lord was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. He rose to second in command. What happened? The very people that could have caused bitterness in his life are standing before him. His brothers are standing 10 feet in front of him that forsook him and sold him, that caused Potiphar's wife to falsely accuse him, that got him in that prison and kept him in that prison and was how he got forgotten was because of those brothers. And they're standing 10 feet in front of him. And he's able to, upon them, give them the grace of God without bitterness. Hurt, and he cried and it hurt him. But no bitterness. He was able to give them food that they did not deserve. And he realized in that moment the reason God had him alive, forsaken in that prison, the reason God let him be forgotten by everybody was for the moment that he could save his people that didn't deserve saving. And that is because all along the way, in the pit, walking across the desert and being sold as a slave, he was able to appropriate the grace of God towards his brothers, towards those Ishmaelites, towards Potiphar and his wife, towards that prison guard, towards the butler and the baker, towards Pharaoh, towards his own brothers that tried to kill him. Listen, you'll read the Bible and you'll see example after example of people who had peace and were holy and stayed pure before God, kept their focus on the Lord. And you'll find examples of other people when bad things happen, like Esau, treated unfairly. Bad things happen, they went the other way. You've got to appropriate the grace of God. Because the consequences, you will lose focus. You'll become spiritually blind to how God is moving in your life. Number 4, and we'll quickly finish here. The Bible says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Verse number 16, "Lest there be any fornicator, lest there be any fornicator. I believe that one of the consequences of bitterness is a life of fornication. Whether that's in thought, whether that's in purity of letting things through your eye gate that are impure, whether that is actually acting upon these things and being fornicating with your own body. I believe that fornication in the Bible is described as any sexual sin. Anything that is against the things of God, that God would keep inside the bounds of marriage. The marriage bed is undefiled. And God has given us an outline in His Word of how we're supposed to be pure and how we're supposed to treat our minds and what we're supposed to be thinking on and how men and women are supposed to treat each other and how they're supposed to live. And the Bible said, lest there be any fornicator in the life of Esau because of his bitterness, because he did not appropriate the grace of God towards his parents and towards his brother. One of the testimonies that Esau had was a life of fornication. Fornication is a rebellion against God. It is a defiance against how God says we ought to live in our bodies. Genesis chapter 28 says that Esau multiplied wives to himself. The Bible actually says when he saw that the women of Canaan did not please his parents, the very next verse says he went and got wives of the Canaanites. That bitterness caused him to live a life. You are not supposed to look at those women. You're not supposed to love those women. You're not supposed to marry those women. That's exactly what he did. Esau took of the wives of Canaan in direct defiance of his parents, who were the object of his bitterness. We see that that is a consequence. We're living in a day, and I don't want to go too far with this, but we're living in a day of fornication. We're living in a Sodom and Gomorrah type community and country. The morality level in this country has stooped to an all-time low. And I believe with all my heart it is because people, when they are bitter in their hearts, the way the Bible says they turn is they will turn and they will not have peace with people. They will not have holiness anymore. They will not be worried about purity anymore. They will not see how God is working in their life. And God's people get further and further and further away. And we are supposed to be the children of God, and we act like the children of the devil. And I hear people complain all the time about, this news and all this news out there and these news networks and the problem with America is the media and the problem with America is this group of people and this party over here and that party over there. I'm going to tell you that all of that stuff is just Christians blaming everybody else for the condition of this country. I know we don't like to hear that, and we, our candidate and all this stuff, and we're going to fight to the end, and we're going to do this, and so-and-so's going to win, and the condition of this country is the fault of God's people who are bitter and deal with bitterness, and they do not deal with bitterness, and therefore we don't have peace in our churches, we don't have peace in our homes, we're at a divorce rate as high as the world has a divorce rate, our children are leaving at the rate of 75% go out of the church and do not come back to church after graduation. We have our churches, the people we say, the hope of America, the remnant of God's people are here. It is because I believe we see it just like these verses. Fornication, unholiness, people that are mad, people that are angry, people that are hurting other people. A life of fornication. The statistics tell us that amongst Christianity, women are viewing these things on the internet at 75% of women and 85% of men. Christian women and Christian men are dealing with addictions to these things on the internet. Listen, friend, that stuff has its root in bitterness. Something didn't happen, something didn't go your way, and instead of appropriating the grace of God, the Bible says you turn to fornication. You turn in defiance towards God and what God says are the bounds of morality and immorality. Lastly tonight, the Bible says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. You become a profaning person. One of the consequences is a lack of peace. Another consequence is the pursuit of purity is lacking in a person that has bitterness. You lose focus on the Lord and how He works in your life. You turn to a life of fornication. And the Bible says you become a profaning person. Profaning means you take that which is sacred and you make it secular. You take that which is holy and you make it unholy. It is used earlier in the case of trodding underfoot the blood of Christ. It is actually the thought that the things of God do not matter to me anymore. The things of God are not important to me. It is in Esau's life what he did with his birthright. The birthright was the thing that made him the family spiritual leader. The blessing was material. The birthright was the spiritual. This was his, you are the spiritual leader of this family. And in Esau's life, because of bitterness and not appropriating the grace of God, the Bible says he sold his birthright for soup. He treated the birthright, being the spiritual leader of his family, in such low regard that he sold it for some food. That shouldn't surprise us. We turn our back on the things of God for much less than that. I know we like to sit back in judgment of Peter and Esau and these people we see in the Bible, but we must be very careful tonight of how we judge. Because God is moving in our hearts with somebody in our mind, with a spouse, with an ex-spouse, with children, with our parents, with a family member, a brother or a sister, a Christian friend, somebody we have wronged. I mean, I was studying this past week and God brought somebody across my mind. I said, why is that person coming across my mind? And years ago, and it comes up in my mind ever so often, and you know what? I just, when I go back to my home church, I just don't talk to that person. I know something they said about me, and I know something they said about my family, and I just kind of just stay away from them, and I don't talk to them. You know what? I had bitterness in my heart towards that person. And if I'm not careful, you start down this path of these consequences. And you get to the place where you're not focused on the things of the Lord anymore. And you're not focused on the things of how God works in your life anymore. And you become a profaning person. Listen, this desk right here that I'm standing behind, if I have bitterness in my heart, it will not be as important as God wants it to be. That office that God has given me, not just that physical office, but the office of a pastor, I can believe, because I can see how it happens if we just let bitterness go. But I cannot believe sometimes how pastors, how they treat the pastorate in such low regard. They just give themselves away. They live in immorality, or they misuse money, or they do all of these things. And you hear about this pastor falling. And it's like, does that not mean something to people anymore? Does the term father not mean anything to you? Does the term dad not mean anything to you? Does the term husband, does the term wife not mean anything to us anymore? That we would just chat with somebody on the internet? That we would just give ourselves away at a hotel somewhere? That we would just watch that late night television and not even think twice about it and view those things on the internet? Or we would listen to those things in our car? Or we would just trample underneath our foot the blood of Christ and what He did on the cross for us? My friend, it ought to mean something that God has made you a mother, that God has made you a dad, that God has made you a wife or a husband, that God has called me to a pastorate, God has made you a Sunday school teacher, that God has called you to be a deacon. It ought to mean something to us. But if bitterness is held up in your heart, the Bible says you will become a profaning person as Esau. Who? For one morsel of meat, sold his birthright. The thing that should have been held in the highest esteem, Esau, you are the next generation spiritual leader. When I pass away, I'm Isaac. And when I pass away, you are going to lead this family for the next generation and the generation after that and the generation. That is your birthright. Ah, I need some soup. I'm hungry. I just want 5 minutes of pleasure. Well, I just want one drink. I mean, I just want the pain to go away for 5 minutes. I just want to stop thinking about that. I just want my wife to leave me alone for 5 minutes. No. You're becoming a profaning person. You have got to ask the Holy Spirit of God what it is inside of you that He needs to draw to your attention and arrest you tonight and put you in the spiritual handcuffs of conviction and make you deal with that bitterness towards your parents, towards an ex, towards a relationship, towards a person in your life, towards God Himself, whatever it is. Or you will become as Esau. You will sell your title of dad and mom and wife and husband and pastor and teacher and deacon and school teacher, Christian. You will sell it for one morsel of meat. Oh, would God help us to deal with